Hoe kan jouw organisatie verbeteren? Hoe zorg je voor collega's die gelukkiger zijn? En hoe geef je zelf vorm aan je carrière? Je hoort het allemaal op het podcastkanaal New Business Radio Work. Met wetenschappelijke inzichten en de beste praktijkvoorbeelden. Check je favoriete podcastplatform en abonneer je op New Business Radio Work.
Let's Talk Business wordt mede mogelijk gemaakt door baas.nl.
New Business Radio.
Let's Talk Business International.
Welcome to Let's Talk Business. Companies evolve, and certainly when it comes to recycling, working and sustainability. We're going to talk about this topic with Refurbed. They are an alternative marketplace founded on sustainability, authenticity and credibility, and they are the fastest growing marketplace for refurbished products in Europe. The company not only provides consumers with more sustainable and affordable alternatives to new products, but they also provide knowledge for customers behind the products. How did Refurb come to life? What are the challenges and what are the trends and innovations? We're going to talk about this during this Let's Talk Business. My name is Martine Howard and my guest today is Patrick Power, Senior Marketing Manager at Refurbed.
New Business Radio.
Let's Talk Business International. Martine Howard.
Patrick, a very warm welcome to our show. It's really an honor to have you here.
Thanks very much, Martine. Absolutely delighted to be here as well.
Yeah, it's really wonderful. We have an online connection with each other, but we can see each other. And we're going to talk about a lot of things about the last innovations and trends. If you look at Refurbed, Rethink New, you're really a company with a big mission, right?
Yes, absolutely. So as you said, Rethink New, it's our main motto, our main call to action. And it's really what we're trying to help consumers around Europe do. It's something that we work on ourselves, that we really try to instill within our company, but also make it really accessible for consumers all around Europe.
Yeah, I already said it in the introduction, you're an alternative marketplace founded on sustainability. How would you really explain what you're doing as a company?
Yeah, that's a great question. So as you mentioned, first and foremost, I suppose we're a marketplace, and that means that we have products and we have offerings from different suppliers and from different countries around Europe. And the reason that we operate as a marketplace is because we're trying to have more sustainable products that mm-hmm. we can then make accessible to consumers around the continent. And with regards to that, we primarily have electronics, but we also have delved into some other areas, which I can talk about in a while. And it's all about more sustainable products. So our devices are refurbished. They all have had a previous life, and then they've been saved, gone through a refurbishment process, work exactly like new. And then that in its core is a more sustainable alternative than buying a new device, because consumers can get something that and save it from e-waste or save it from a shorter lifespan.
Yeah, and it also feels like new, right?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. So that's one of the main things that we are very passionate about, is that just because something's sustainable or just because something had a previous life does not mean that it shouldn't work the exact same and the consumer shouldn't get the top quality.
Yeah. Yeah. Just so to be clear, it doesn't feel like you're going to a secondhand shop and you really have that old feeling. It really feels like a new product. Still.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. If we really look at the products, smartphone, tablets and laptops, right?
Yes. So those would be our three core products, and those would be what we would be known for at the start. It's very much what we founded ourselves on. So smartphones would have been number one. Then we had laptops, then we have tablets, and they still would be three core products. We've expanded a lot in the last few years as well. So now we have aspects even like household devices, sports equipment, gaming consoles. And it's really inspiring to see just how many devices and how many device categories can be saved and do have a more alternative or a sustainable alternative.
Yeah, great. We're going to talk about this topic, of course, later on. If we look at you, you're a senior marketing manager, global operation and Ireland for Refurbed. If you really look at your function and at your job, what makes it so, well, challenging and a great job?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. So I suppose There's two aspects to it. The first is I joined Refurbed about 3 years ago, and my main goal or my main role when I started was to lead the Irish market, and that's been doing very well. You know, we've been very much enjoying our presence in Ireland, but then that expanded over the last few years, and I grew into the global operations aspect, which you mentioned, and that would be for me what is the most rewarding part of the position that I hold. And it's bringing Refurb's mission, bringing everything that Refurb does, not just to my own home country, but on a global scale, and making sure that we're expanding across new markets, new areas, and that we're really bringing the circular economy all around Europe, and we're making an impact on that wider scale. For me, impact is what drives my passions. It's what drives why I joined Refurb, and to be able to do that on a broader spectrum is very challenging, but very rewarding as well.
Yeah, I can imagine. It really has two sides, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. If you look at the impact, because you said impact, what kind of impact are you talking about then?
Yeah, so the impact for me would be twofold. One would be the hard facts. So we know that when you buy a refurbished device, you actually have huge environmental savings. Primarily, we've done a lot of research on this, and primarily the savings are in regards to carbon production, e-waste and water usage. So by buying refurbished devices, you're saving between 80 to 90% versus getting a new device, which it's huge to be able to make this impact. But then the other area would be on kind of educating consumers and even seeing it in my own day-to-day life. So for example, my parents, my aunts, my uncles, they now buy refurbished tech, and they see it as just the option to go to. So when you do see it on the personal level, and you see, okay, yeah, I'm, you know, spreading this broad message, but actually the people I know are making these more sustainable, more educated purchasing decisions, it's really rewarding to see the smaller level of the impact also.
Yeah. I think that's really wonderful, because it's not only about the product, but also sharing knowledge about working on this kind of way.
Yes, exactly. And I think it's one of the nice pillars for Refurbed is that it's not just that the devices are more sustainable, they're also more affordable. And that kind of hand in hand makes sustainability really accessible to everybody.
Yeah.
I think, you know, a lot of the time we think something sustainable, it's going to come at a premium price, or it's going to be more difficult for me as a consumer. But we want to remove that barrier and say, no, you can purchase ethically and affordably at the same time.
Yeah. I think it's wonderful what you're doing, because like you already said, a lot of sustainable products the price can be quite high. So some people really feel, yeah, that's only for the rich people. So it's lovely that you're making the change. But I also think that sustainability is also a way of living. It's like a mindset. What do you think about that?
I 100% agree. And we see it with our own consumers in Refurbed as well, or with our own kind of community, should I say, that a lot of people actually come to us first because they see something's a lot cheaper and they're like, oh yeah, why would I not try something cheaper? You save some money. But then after they purchase with us and they find out the kind of full story behind Refurbed and the full circular sustainability aspect through our email communications or customer service and all of our different touch points, they become far more passionate about buying refurbished tech. And like that, it becomes part of their lifestyle. They start sharing the news with other people, and they might come to us for a phone, for example, as their first purchase, but then next thing they have a refurbished coffee machine and a robot Hoover going around the house, and you know, it just grows and becomes part of their day-to-day life.
Yeah, that's really wonderful. If you look at Refurbed and the beginning, how did this company come to life, and also the name, how did this all started?
Yeah, so it started with our founder, Peter. So we have three co-founders, Peter, Killian and Jürgen. And Peter himself, he's always been a bit of an entrepreneur. So he always knew he wanted to do something in the business sphere and do something with the mission. But then separately as a consumer, he wanted to, as we kind of mentioned earlier, buy more sustainably and have those options for himself. And what he did was he bought a secondhand phone, thinking, okay, this is good. It's cheaper than a new phone. Also, it's more sustainable. I'm not, you know, buying something that I don't need to buy new. I'm saving a device. And felt quite good as a consumer, you know, patted himself on the back. But then what happened was it was a few weeks after he got the secondhand phone, and then the phone just stopped working. And he then was left with no warranty, with a device that he bought that wasn't going to be fixed, and unfortunately out of pocket. So as a consumer, you know, naturally he was quite disgruntled. You would be. You're like, okay, I try and do something good, and then it comes back to bite me, and now I'm out of money. And with that in mind, he kind of sat down and said, okay, what's a way that I could avoid this, or what's a way a business could avoid this and make sure that consumers can buy something more sustainably, but be covered? And then that's when he looked into the refurbishment industry. He looked into how these things can be done, and then he came up with the concept. So from there, he reached out to Killian, who's another co-founder of ours. Killian actually worked at Amazon in their refurbished department, and he was leading that for Europe, and he was passionate about it. But what he found, in his own words, is that Amazon wasn't really that passionate about it. So for them, you know, it was ticking a box. It looks good to have this on our platform, as opposed to actively pushing it. And Killian then found that frustrating, because he wanted to really push refurbishment and make that impact. So when Peter reached out, he said, yes, let's do it. Let's make a genuine, authentic push at this via our own company. And then they came to our final co-founder, Jürgen. And Jürgen, quite simply, is just very, very intelligent when it comes to tech, when it comes to building everything with regards to the marketplace. And he brought that knowledge to the table. And then with regards to the word or the name Refurbed, very simply, it's just a shorter term for refurbishment. So that's where they came up with it. They said, okay, it's something that a lot of consumers around Europe will be able to understand quickly and easily, and of course will educate where needs be. But it's really nice just to have a name that says it on the tin.
Yeah. It's very clear, directly, right?
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. That's really wonderful. So the three guys are really also guys with a big mission, a personal mission, but also together, really with a big worldwide mission, right?
Absolutely. And it's really inspiring to work with them and to hear the genuine, authentic manner in which they kind of speak about the company's mission, but also, as you mentioned, it's their own mission as well. So
yeah,
it's really nice to know that it's not just something that, yes, this is what the company's doing. It's very personal to them. And because of that, it becomes very personal to everybody who works within the company. And then we all work towards that goal.
Yeah, that's really wonderful. We're going to talk about Refurbed and lots more after the break.
Van hippe start-up tot ijzersterke multinational.
Iedereen praat mee.
Dit is New Business Radio.
You're still listening to Let's Talk Business, and my guest is today Patrick Power, Senior Marketing Manager at Refurbed. Patrick, we already talked a lot about what is your company standing for, of course. What is Refurbed standing for, with a big mission? But we're always going back in history. So let's talk also about your history. You were born you're Irish guy, right? And you completed undergraduate degree in neuroscience, but you also followed a master in management and marketing, right?
Yes, a very strange mix, but yeah. So that's my background. So as you mentioned, Irish born and bred, and then I always had a science mind. So went into neuroscience, really enjoyed it. But by the time it came to the end of it, what I found was it was a little too restrictive. There wasn't a lot of room for, I suppose, creativity or coming up with new things. It's very much you follow a formula, which of course makes sense. But I'm a bit of a creative being. So then I decided to marry the two and use the science aspect when it comes to marketing and data science and analytics, but be a bit more creative in the marketing sphere as well.
Yeah. How do you still use all the experience you have with neuroscience also in your job now?
Yeah, there's two ways I suppose I use it. The first would straight up just be the science, the analytics, the following a formula. A lot of marketing, I feel like people think marketing is very much, you know, painting and colors and, you know, fun activities, which there is, but it should all be based on the kind of data science and the analytics and the different trends and everything there. So that would be one area. Mm-hmm. But then another part of it is in neuroscience, there is some psychology that you study. You do kind of look into, quite literally look into the minds of people. And with that in mind, you can very much link that with marketing as well when you're trying to create an offering or communicate something in a way to different people and to see how people think about things and how they work. So those would be the two ways I think there's a direct link.
Yeah, yeah. Can you also give a great example of that? How it really works also during marketing?
Yeah, of course. I suppose this is a strange one when it comes to different ways, but one would be quite logically with regards to websites or two different marketing channels. You can, if you break things down, you can very much see, okay, this is where a consumer drops off. This is where a consumer might have an issue. Why are people dropping off at this part of the funnel? Let's maybe do some consumer interviews then, or do some market research and see, okay, this is clearly a mental block or some sort of stumbling block that's prohibiting people from taking that next step. So that would be more so the data analysis side of things. But then separately, when you do consumer interviews, when you do surveys with your consumers, or when you just kind of talk to them in general, you can really identify areas that they're passionate about, areas that, you know, might be a problem with them, and you can delve further in then, because you can kind of talking one-on-one allows you to spot these areas that data doesn't. Yeah. Because you can really see something and you can see how somebody works and you can delve into it and then use that to enhance the process, of course, for them, but also for other people like them.
Yeah, but then data and also feedback is very important for you then as a company, right?
Absolutely, yes. I would say in my 3 years at Refurbed now, based on data and feedback, our offering is changing so much. And it might be small little areas or small little things that we do, but every step that we make and everything that we kind of, every way that we progress is based on this data, consumer feedback. And then we do see that the next customers or the returning customers are even happier than they were before. So yeah, it's quite rewarding to see that grow as well.
Yeah, yeah. Wonderful. I think that personal approach is so also important nowadays, that you're really listening to the feedback so you can really do what people would like to see, what they would really like to experience.
Absolutely. And it's something we're very passionate about as well. I know we've mentioned that we've expanded across Europe and, you know, we're in many countries, but actually each country is its own, like its own baby, it's its own person. And of course, there's lots of people within each country, but we do find that each place we're in or each country we're in, there is a general personality that it has. And with that in mind, it's really important for us to make sure we tailor to that and we kind of really speak to people how they want to be spoken to, and we give them the offering that they want. So with that in mind, we do reach out within each market. We directly talk to our Dutch consumers. We directly talk to our Irish consumers to find out exactly what they want in their country. And there's a lot of differences between the countries and how people think, and also the education on refurbishment. So it's really important for us that we do that local touch as well.
Because I'm very curious, what are the differences between the Dutch consumers and the Irish consumers?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I know from a lot of our research that Dutch consumers are very educated on refurbishment. They're one of the most educated consumer groups that we have. And even before we came to the Netherlands, there was such good awareness there, whereas a lot of other countries, not as much. With Ireland, the term refurbishment, everybody knew, but they were very much putting refurbishment and secondhand in the one bucket. So they would buy a refurbished device, but think that they're buying something secondhand. And we had to do a lot of education there to say, no, there's kind of three product areas. There's new, there's refurbished, and there's secondhand. And each is a distinct kind of pillar of its own. So that was one of our main educational aspects that we had to do in Ireland. With Dutch consumers, what we see is that there's so much education there already. But with that in mind, Dutch consumers are also more skeptical because they're like, hold on, you know, just because you say something sustainable or refurbished doesn't mean that's the case. So with that in mind, it's more so we really want to show and be authentic and say, okay, this just isn't us talking about, you know, refurbishment or sustainability. Here are the facts. And that's why we've worked with independent research institutes like Fraunhofer. And what we've done with that is we've actually come up with ISO verified data to say, this is literally not us talking about sustainability, but this is the fact of what you're saving when you buy this device or when you're buying this. So we have that for 10,000 devices on our website now, and we get to share that with our Dutch consumers and say, don't take our word for it, take the research institute's word for it,
which
I think is important.
Yeah, very important. And it's so important to share that knowledge.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's really wonderful. If we look at the last 3 years for you, what are the biggest learnings for you?
Biggest learnings for me, that's a really good question. I think first and foremost is kind of how we mentioned already about the differences between the different countries and how different areas work. Then next would be the importance of that transparency and the importance of not just selling something like shiny, you know, and just putting a message out there, but knowing that people really care and that consumers across Europe, they're really passionate about something when you, again, afford them the opportunity of learning about it and having the kind of knowledge there. And the more that you do that, the more passionate they are and the more that they then bring the message forward. So that's something that I think a lot of companies might undervalue. And it's something that it's really important to empower your consumers with this information. And I just think separately, having that authentic communication, no matter how it is, even if your company messes up, that's fine.
Yeah.
If something goes wrong, but just being honest with your consumers, it breaks down so many barriers. And that's something that I've learned. So even like I mentioned, we do have the local touches. But beyond that, I personally have called some consumers in Ireland if something has gone wrong. And I've said, hey, look, something you said something's gone wrong. I just want to hear what happened there. And how can we, you know, how can we help and how can we grow and learn? And the response was so positive, even though they might have had a negative experience. It's just having that honest, straight up conversation people really appreciate, and that's something I've learned, and that's something that actually matches every single country that we're in.
It's really wonderful, but it's not very easy to be really honest and be open.
No.
How do you do that? Because it's also if you look at a company, you know, in a personal way it can be quite challenging, but especially I think as a company it's not that easy to really be honest and open altogether.
Yes, no, you're absolutely correct. It is a difficult thing to do. I do think one of the ways that we find it works for us is to include those outside stakeholders. So like I mentioned with the Fraunhofer Institute who did the research, it's to find these ways of saying, okay, yes, we're going to communicate with you authentically, but here is a truth source of that. Here is a foundation of that. We always conveyed to our consumers that refurbishment is more sustainable and that you save water, CO2 and e-waste, but it was us saying it, and we just found that that wasn't enough, not just from the consumer side, but from our own side. You know, I can talk as a person, I can say, oh yeah, I'm so nice, I'm so lovely, I'm this, I'm that. It's not really the case unless my friends are saying it and my family are saying it. You know, the people I interact with. And that's what we wanted to do. So we worked with the Fraunhofer Institute. We're also part of EURIFAS, which is the European Refurbishment Association. And we worked there to make a standard across Europe for refurbishment that all companies have to adhere to. And we have other pillars and touch points where it's outside people or outside stakeholders that we're bringing into the fold. And I think that shows more credibility and brings more trust for consumers.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Because then it's rethink new, not only for the products, but also as like an like a culture.
Exactly. Yes, I think that's really important. And I think as a person and as a business, you really say a lot about yourself with who you surround yourself with. And that's one of the ways that we really like to convey the authenticity, to our consumers.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, we're going to talk about the trends and the innovations after the break. So don't run away. Just listen first at the music and then we're going to talk further.
Van hippe start-up tot ijzersterke multinational.
Iedereen praat mee.
Dit is New Business Radio.
You're still listening to Let's Talk Business and we're talking about, refurbed products with refurbed. Because companies evolve and that's also what you're doing as a company, of course. Patrick, if we really look at the trends and innovations right now, what would you say? What are the biggest trends now?
Biggest trends. Very interesting question. I suppose the first and foremost for the refurbishment industry is just expanding into new products and new categories.
Yeah.
So the first thing, as I mentioned earlier, was when we started, it was very much phones, laptops and tablets. In the last 2 years, I believe, we've launched gaming consoles, we've launched kitchen appliances, household appliances, and our newest that we actually launched just this year, also in the Netherlands, was refurbed sports equipment. So that's something that's quite interesting. I think also for Dutch consumers, we have refurbished e-bikes and regular bikes and e-scooters, which we know definitely biking is big in the Netherlands.
Yeah, for sure.
So that would be one of the first things, is really expanding the product assortment and making sure that we can see that there's an option for everyone. You know, maybe not everybody wants a refurbished phone, but maybe they want a refurbished bike. So that would be the first thing in the refurbished sphere. In the tech sphere, I think very much what we're trying to push outside of refurbishment is the right to repair. So we want people to be able to repair their own devices. So even if I get a new iPhone, if I have it for 2 years and the camera is gone or something like that, I as a consumer should be able to fix that or should be able to go somewhere and get it fixed and still be under warranty. Whereas right now, the likes of Apple, the likes of these bigger companies make it very difficult for consumers to do that. And they kind of prohibit that in many ways. They also try and prohibit refurbishment in other ways. So it's very difficult to keep the device living as long as possible. And so from refurb side, we try to push the government, both in the countries we're in, but more so on an EU level, to enforce the right to repair and to have these higher standards that we're putting against companies when they're releasing new devices. So that would be it on the more macro level then.
Yeah. That's really a wonderful and great challenge, I think, but also a difficult one. Because it's also a culture that is already going on for such a long time. You cannot change that, right, directly.
Absolutely. It is something that's going on so long. And we even see, you know, the overconsumption every year with Apple essentially releasing the same phone for the last number of years. So it's something we're pushing against. We have seen that the EU government has made some good steps in the right direction, you know, with the universal charger that only came out this year, the USB-C. And they have other steps in place that are coming out over the next 2 years to improve that. And there are some kind of stances against the likes of Apple saying, no, you can't just release a phone and not allow people to repair it. So there's small steps being made. They're a bit too small, you know, for the kind of way that consumption is and the way that sustainability or lack thereof is in normal economy. So we would like to see bigger steps, but at least there are some steps in the right direction.
Yeah. What do you think then? What are we going to see in the future? Are there like small shops where you can go to rebuild your phone, for example, or your laptop? Or is it really going to be more like you're going to do that by yourself at home?
Hopefully, people will be able to fix things themselves, at least to a certain extent. I think aspects like, you know, if you crack your screen or if the camera is broken or something external, should definitely become accessible for people to do themselves. When it comes to the internal workings of a device, fair enough, you know, maybe some people mightn't have the tech knowledge to do that themselves, but at least if they're able to go to a local expert and get it fixed and hopefully still have that under warranty as well, that would be something that we would hope to get to on a macro level eventually.
Yeah. The world changes quickly, especially in the tech and digital world, of course. How do you keep innovating and evolving as a person, but also as a company? How do you do that?
Very interesting question. I suppose it's really important to stay on top of the innovations and the new aspects that come out. The one right now would be AI. So I think we all know that that's very much growing.
Yeah.
As a person and as a company, we do use AI, and we're not AI led yet, but it is very, very useful, and it's something that we stay on top of. So to answer the question, it's trial and tribulation. I think anytime there's a new innovation or a new tech out there, of course, you can't just jump on it blindly, because there is going to be a learning curve. But trying something out on a smaller scale, seeing how you can hone it, whether it's for your own personal work or whether it's for your company, and then just kind of iterating and doing it step by step. I think we've even seen over the last few months at Refurb that every month or two, we've made a next step with AI, and we're, you know, integrating it in a more clever way and a better way. So I think it's all about trying it, testing it, and improving each time.
Yeah. Can you share like an example? How do you use AI now?
Sure. One example would be translations. So for me, I'm an English speaker, and, you know, luckily all of my colleagues speak English, and most European countries, most people understand it. But that is not the same for other markets. So, you know, unfortunately in Ireland, I'm quite ignorant to other languages. I do not speak Dutch. I don't speak German. Don't speak Czech. So it's important to have kind of ways that we can all communicate, and in an easy way. And particularly for those markets like the Czech Republic, like Portugal, Italy, the translation aspect of AI can be very, very useful to make workloads a lot quicker. Also to help communicate something and get it to the consumers faster. Because if it's something that is done first in English or in German, because we were first founded in DACH, and then we have to wait, you know, a long process to get this into the local language or into the local kind of community, that could prolong the time until those consumers get to see it. So using AI really speeds that process up.
Yeah. Because like the importance of global planning married with local initiatives are so important, right? That combination.
Absolutely yes. Yeah. It's something in Refurb that the locality is really important to us. And one of the things, I suppose, for the Netherlands, actually, which is very interesting as well, is that we like to not only enter a country and say, you know, hi, here's refurbished products, but we also want to help each market that we're in expand their reach of the circular economy. So for example, in the Netherlands, it's our second most supplier dense market. So I believe we have the most suppliers in Germany, I believe. And then second is actually the Netherlands.
Yeah.
And as we mentioned earlier, you know, there's a lot of education around refurbishment in the Netherlands. There's a lot of expertise. And one of the things we're passionate about is we're actually now also helping refurbishment within the Netherlands to expand its reach to the likes of Ireland, to the likes of Sweden, to all of these different countries around Europe. So it's a two-way street of us bringing the global aspect into each country, but helping each country locally expand as well.
And how do you do that then? Is it an academy, or are there workshops or online meetings? How do you do that?
Yeah, so the way we operate is we have our different suppliers in all of the countries, and we have minimum quality standards that are set across the board. So they have to first and foremost reach these standards, which are quite high to even be allowed to sell with Refurbed. But then outside of that, we have constant monitoring. So there's monitoring from the consumer side of things, from the process side of things, from the customer service, all of the quality standards, if there's any issues there. We also do mystery shopping with our suppliers, and we have a huge checklist, not only to join refurbed, but then to continue to be able to sell with refurbed.
Yeah.
But once the suppliers reach this and once we're happy with the quality standard, then they can sell, you know, across the different markets. And the reason we have all of these suppliers is because from what we've seen, particularly at the start, it's better to work with specialists for each type of product. So one supplier might only do certain MacBooks, another supplier might only do certain headphones. And that's when you're getting that real expertise and you know that you can trust in the product that consumers are getting through the door.
Yeah.
And that's how we work in that way.
Yeah, that's really inspiring that you're also checking it all the time, that it's really refurbed. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's very important to us to make sure that, because we're spreading the message that refurbishment is just like new. You know, it's more sustainable, you're saving, but the products are just like new. So it's really important to us that we're kind of putting our money where our mouth is there, that we're putting the time and effort into making sure that that is the case for every consumer.
Yeah. Yeah. Still, a lot of people want new things. You always have the challenge, right? Maybe that's your biggest challenge as a company. How do you do that? How do you find those new consumers?
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, we're in a consumption culture.
Yeah.
People do want to have the newest thing a lot of the time. I think part of it is education, particularly when it comes to phones, laptops, tablets. I think a lot of consumers themselves have become more aware that, okay, these companies are just releasing the same product in a different font every year and adding a new price tag onto it. So I think there is a bit of a cultural switch just in consumers themselves. But outside of that, we're there to educate and we're there to give the alternative. It really does depend on the product category. You know, there's certain devices, for example, people are more willing to immediately go refurbished for, like a Hoover or something like that, because they're kind of, you know, okay, it's not as important a product as
phone. Yeah.
So it depends on the category, but it's really about educating the consumers and again giving them their rights as well. So not just saying to a consumer, oh yeah, refurbished is great, you can buy it cheaper, but making sure they're covered, which is why we have our free trial for all customers. So we have a 30-day free trial, and we also have a standard 12-month warranty. With certain products, it's more. And the reasoning behind this is that consumers know that they're covered and they have their free trial as well. So they can always test out refurbished and not make the full commitment until they're very happy with the quality themselves.
Yeah, that's really wonderful. Yeah. What is your biggest challenge now for the next coming months, but also for the next coming year?
Biggest challenge is to continue to expand, I believe. So one thing we've recently done, which I'm very proud of because I was part of the project, is we've launched our trade-in service across six new countries,
yeah.
One of which is the Netherlands. And that allows Dutch consumers to sell their old devices to refurbed. Therefore, they're obviously getting some money themselves. But outside of that, they're saving the device from going to landfill because it can be refurbished and put back on the market. So right now, that's a huge area for us that we really want to push because it closes the loop. We were, you know, just in the Netherlands, for example, we were just selling refurbished devices, which in itself is, you know, huge for sustainability. But now that it's a full circle and I could buy a phone and sell my old phone.
Yeah.
And really close the circle. So that's something that we want to continue to expand. It's currently in 8 of our countries. And outside of that, with the challenges, it's really just making sure we have the right assortment for each country and that we're helping to make it more of a reality that every household in every country can have refurbished products.
Yeah. And not only the products, but that also the culture is changing. How we think about products.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
Yeah. Wonderful. If we're gonna dream big, like in 5 years, where are you standing then as a company?
I'm like, is this a personal opinion or is a company opinion? But I would like us to essentially be the refurbished Amazon. You know, everyone, when you think of something for your house or for your day to day, a lot of people think of Amazon. And the unfortunate thing there is that like we mentioned, can lead to overconsumption, and it can lead to these products that are not the most sustainable. So it would be great to be the sustainable alternative, and that people, when they think of, I need this device for my house, or hopefully down the line, maybe not even a device, that they can think, okay, well, I know that the place I can go to where I can get a sustainable version of whatever I want is refurbed, and that we're the first kind of company or place that pops into their mind all across Europe. That would be my goal for the next 5 years.
Yeah, a wonderful big goal. I think it's going to happen too.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for sharing your story and for sharing your vision. Patrick, it was really lovely to talk with you, and good luck with everything.
Thank you so much, Martina. Really, really nice to speak to you also. Absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Van hippe start-up tot ijzersterke multinational.
Iedereen praat mee.
Dit is New Business Radio.